a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Senate Taxation Committee. And we will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Adelstein?
Here.
Howie?
Here.
Gerstad?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Merchant?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Frisley?
Here.
Hansen?
Here. We do have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting?
So
moved by Senator Gerstad, seconded by Senator Adelstein. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Once again, we remind all of those of you who are going to be testifying, please sign the register by the door. Also, as you come to the microphone to speak, do so. Be sure that the microphone is on. There's a little light there on the mic that will indicate it's that it's, and that's important because these proceedings are all carried out over the internet live, and they're archived, and so we can come back and listen to them at any time in the future that we choose to do so. If you have anything on your body that makes noise, such as a cell phone, please turn it off. And let's see, it's my pleasure to introduce a couple pages who are very important to us this morning. One is just leaving here, going to do what pages do. That's Leah Weinbar from Iroquois. And our other page is Corey Kleinsaucer from Wessington, who happens to be my page for this two-week period. We're happy to have you here and taking part. We have an intern who is Kate Dykstra from Alcester. And we're happy to be served by, and I really mean served by, these people who do a very diligent, hardworking, and make an important contribution. We will take the four bills this morning in order as they're listed on the agenda, 171, 172, followed by 1232 and 1239. And with that in mind, we will open the hearing to Senate Bill 171, which is an act to create an additional classification of real property and provide for its assessment and to revise certain provisions concerning the taxation of such property. And we will welcome our first proponent.
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Senator Peterson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'll just present it from here because it will not be long.
You certainly may. You certainly may.
All right. Thank you. I think, as most of you know, this is going to be my last year in the legislature. And because of that, I'm bringing a couple of bills that I want you to think about in the future. Am I getting close enough so you can hear me now? Fred's kind of looking at me like I'm not speaking loud enough here. But I bring you 171. I have served on taxation. It's been my pleasure to serve on taxation now and my honor to have served on it for the 10 years that I've been here and have been involved with the new method of assessing ag property. And I bring you 171. I feel that it's premature at this time for this bill to pass, but I want you to think about why this bill is brought to you. What this bill does, it creates a new classification of property. According to state law, you have to tax all property within a class the same. And when I looked at what happened to ag property across the state and ag valuations in different counties, it became very evident that in some counties where there are large metropolitan areas, such as Minnehaha and Lincoln County, there was a great decrease in land values. When we looked at charts, and some of these charts are from 2006, so the figures aren't correct, but they'll just give you an idea, an approximate what happened. I know I've looked at several charts on Minnehaha County. When you remove the 150% rule, and everybody wanted the 150% rule to go away, the ag values in Minnehaha County would have went up, according to, I've got two sets of charts here. One shows 48%, the other shows 75%, that it would have gone up in value just by removing the 150% rule. This is because of some of the land sales that occur around Sioux Falls. When you start selling land by the square foot, or as our former governor sold a piece of property by one of the interstate exchanges that 160 acres sold for several million dollars. You realize that this is no longer ag property. But it would have been, if it had been farmed, it would have been included. 150% went away, and it would really have increased everyone's value in Minnehaha County unfairly. Well, what productivity did, it actually had a huge decrease in value in Minnehaha County. And it decreased it to what its farm value is worth and what the farmers should be paying on it. But there's some of this property, when it's selling by the square foot, or the tens of thousands of dollars per acre, that we really have to think about. Should we be assessing this as ag property? You know, originally in the bill we had a green acres provision, but to form our coalition to get this bill passed, we removed that green acres provision. That provided a five-year look back. When this property was developed, you'd look back for 5 years, and then you'd increase it the value to that. And what this bill does, it would establish a new class of property called transitional real property. And I used 500%, and I don't know what the figure should be. I don't know if it should be 500% or 600% or 700%. But someplace along the line sometime, we have to look at this property and realize that it's not really ag property anymore. And the bill provides that this new class of property, all properties that sold in this class, would be grouped together to figure out a value. And it also says that it can be reclassified, that ever so often you can look at this and it could go back to being classified as ag. If it met the three criteria, and they're set in statute, I'm not going to read them today, it's a page long. But if it met all three criteria, it could go back and be reclassified as ag property. And the last page of the bill tells you that the mill levy would be the same on this property as it would be on ag land. You're just having the increased value. Now, I'm bringing this bill because it's something you're going to have to face at some time in the future to really be fair. But just wanted to present this to you for food for thought for the future. And at this time, I would ask that you gently send this bill to the 41st day. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. It's unusual that we get a request for a person to shoot one's own dog, but I believe if the committee is in agreement, a motion to that effect would be in order.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
The Department of Revenue, I think, would like to be a proponent.
I believe that would be very appropriate. May we welcome... Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I just wanted to take a minute because I think that this bill, although I think as Senator Peterson has adequately, very well explained that you know the time isn't quite right for this bill, he has given us, I think, a very good template for the future. And not necessarily, I'm not talking about any of the specific characteristics of this bill, because, but what he's done is he's created a very a good template for us in that he's got a very consistent, very sort of black and white definition as to what's going to be in the class and what's going to be outside the class. He's got a very specific things about what happens to that class and how it's valued. And then he's also got, which I think was a very good portion of this bill and very well thought out, is a way to get out of that class. If you meet all three of the criteria for the bill, then you could go back to if you meet all three of the criteria for agricultural status, then you could go back to agricultural land. So I think I just wanted to say that, I've seen a lot of different bills as sort of a discussion points along the way for the future, and this bill was very well thought out, and I think could serve very well as a template for the future as we talk about this issue, and we will have to address this issue in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Kinsman. Mr. Kenyon, I have a difficult time with that. With that in mind, is there anyone else who would like to express any thoughts on this, mainly from the standpoint that even though we do, I'm sure we will comply with the prime sponsor's request, again, these proceedings are archived on the Internet, and so this may provide some basis for reference at some future time. I see we have another proponent, I assume. Well, if we do not have any more, are there any further proponents? Go ahead, Mr. Krogman. Your thoughts
Thank
will be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll be very brief. We fought. I represent the South Dakota Association of Realtors, and we opposed the Green Acres issue. And now, with the economic times going on, is a very good illustration of why we should tax property for what it is and not what it might be in the future. Because some of the prices paid around Sioux Falls, the developers that bought it would love to get their money back. Because it's down by, in some places, by 30%. Now, I know there's a way in this bill to go back to ag, but the economy fluctuates too much. In that you say, now I'm back to ag, and the economy changes, and the developers provide a service of housing and commerce. And I don't think you can put them in a position, when they paid the highest value, change the tax rolls on that value, and it may not be there for 10 years. It costs $50,000 to develop a lot in Sioux Falls, approximately. There is investment, there's a payback to the community, and this is not the time to do that. As Senator Peterson said, with all due respect, it's worth discussion, but this is where we're at. We believe that taxes should be assessed on property as it is today. And even though that land, the price was high, it's still ag land. And I think they did the right thing on that assessment last year, on dropping that particular property. I don't necessarily agree that everything that was done last year was the right thing, but I think it's fair that that property is ag today, should be assessed there, and as it develops, it should be reassessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further any further opponents to Senate Bill 171? Seeing none, are there any questions of the committee? Again, seeing none, we would open to committee action. Senator Howey.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd move to the 41st day.
Second. Moved by Senator Howey, seconded by Senator Adelstein to move to the 41st day. Comments, Senator Gierstead?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to make a short comment. I think Senator Peterson has always represented what I hope we would all be on this tax committee, and that's wise and fair. And I think his bill seeks to provide a fair assessment, you know, in the future. And, you know, when you talk about the future, it's pretty hard to have a discussion because it seems like the future is like mercury. It's all over the place, and we don't know what's happening and going to be happening. And so it makes our job, I think, even more difficult going forward. I think that was brought up by Mr. Krogman. And, but, you know, I think it's a plan, and we need to be thinking in terms of not necessarily just reacting to the legislation that comes our way, but to making plans for the future that are going to be hopefully fair and right, because that's all anyone can ask of taxation and taxes, is that it's a fair thing to do, and it's not always going to be fair for everybody. But I just commend Senator Peterson on bringing this bill forward at this time, and then asking us to send it to the 41st day, and hopefully it'll be tucked on a shelf over there in the 41st day to be brought out again. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion to the 41st day will vote aye. Those opposed, vote nay, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howey?
Aye.
Gierstead?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, the 41st day motion prevails, and Senate Bill 171 will be laid to rest. We will now open the hearing on Senate Bill 172, which is an act to provide for the assessment of certain agricultural land as non-crop land. May we hear from the first proponent?
Mr. Chairman.
And you may, pitch the bill from there,
from here?
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to propose an amendment to 172.
You may do so.
Be distributed at this time?
Has it been? It's been distributed. At least I have a copy.
Mr. Chairman, we don't have it.
Okay. I've got it. I've got too many things piled up here. Pages. Make sure that the committee gets one first.
I think you can go ahead and start explaining the amendment as it's being passed out.
There's no need for 172 the way it was written, because there will be another version that will come over and we'll discuss it at that time. But what I'm essentially doing is hogging 172 to 172 FA. And I'm doing this for the Big Stone Power Plant. And what we want to do, and it will be fully explained to you by those that are much more qualified than me, but we're just going to go into an existing statute and just tweak it a little bit so that it's clearly understood some updates that they're going to have to do to the plant will qualify. So at this time, I would like to turn that over.
Just a minute, Senator. Let's move the amendment bill into the form that you would like. Moved by Senator Gerstad, second by Senator Merchant. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the bill is now amended 172 FA. That way those giving testimony will know what it is that they're testifying to. And Senator?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Kevin Kuba, if I may.
Okay. Proponents of 172 FA?
Good morning, Mr.
Good
Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, it's good to be here before you today. My name is Kevin Koba, and I'm a registered lobbyist for Otter Tail Power Company. We're an investor-owned utility that serves electric customers in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. We are strictly an electric utility provider. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Senator Peterson for allowing us the opportunity to hoghouse his bill for an important, very important issue that we have recently discovered, and we'd like to certainly hope you will agree that it's a very important issue for and support the amendment. If I may, with the chair's permission, I would like to just speak to the amendment.
Please do. In fact, the bill is now amended, so that's what the bill is.
Very good. I think with the amendment that you have, you also have a couple of other sheets there, and I would like to talk to them later in my testimony. But I just want to talk about the amendment as it is. At the bottom of the page, you will notice that we are looking to delete everything after "to" and insert. Revise the definition for environmental upgrades used to provide a property tax exemption for coal-fired power plants. Big Stone Plant is the only coal-fired power plant in the state of South Dakota, and it is owned by Otter Tail Power, MDU, and Northwestern Energy. We currently, as of 2006, have an exemption for ad valorem property tax for environmental upgrades, provided the upgrades exceed $10 million or more. The above in the amendment, you'll notice in Section 2, we are striking a portion of that, and I'd like to draw your attention to, I believe it is about the fourth line down in the overstrike. It makes reference to best available control technology. At the time the statute was written, we were entertaining the possibility of building a second unit at Big Stone. That has since been shelved. But we still have an issue there with the existing unit, and we certainly are looking to increase, continually operate that facility. And to do that, we will be looking at some major environmental upgrades. That particular technology, best available control technology, may not, or certainly is going to change. And one thing we're seeing is that technologies are changing, and we are probably going to be looking at different technologies, increased requirements on emissions at that existing unit. And that's essentially what we are trying to do is as Mr. Senator Peterson mentioned, tweak it a little bit, and you'll notice the language following the overstrike. That is what we'd like to do. It'll allow us to continue to operate the plant in an environmentally friendly way. It'll also give us the exemption for ad valorem property taxes that we need in order to keep our rates stable. Those would be direct pass-throughs to the customers, increasing their rates, and maintain that facility for many, many years to come. We feel it's a great facility, and certainly it meets our needs and the needs of our customers. Without anything further, I guess I certainly want to ask for your support for this amendment, and we think it's an important amendment and will definitely benefit the owners and our customers for the long run. And I'd stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kuba. Further proponents to Senate Bill 172?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Pam Bonrud, and I'm with Northwestern Energy out of their Sioux Falls office, and I'm their registered lobbyist. As one of the co-owners of the Big Stone plant, we too would ask for your support of Senate Bill 172 as amended. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents to Senate Bill 172 as amended? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 172 as its amended form? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will close the public testimony and open to committee questions. Senator Peterson?
Could I just have a closing statement?
You certainly may.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll get this close enough so Fred can hear.
I'm not sure this is a rebuttal. Go ahead.
Is this appropriate time to make a closing remark?
It would be very appropriate. You bet.
All right. Thank you very much. As you can see, there's letters in here from the two taxing districts that are concerned, the Grand County Commissioners and the Milbank Board of Education. They both support this project. And this is a very, I think, environmentally friendly amendment that we're making here to the existing statute. We're not asking for anything new. We also included a line there that just not a mandated update, but if they on a voluntarily basis decide to go ahead and make these changes, that they would also be included with the provisions that are included in the law right now. And all this actually does, it just allows them for the first year after the upgrade, there's they're exempt from taxation for the new property, and then they get a depreciated cost the second year. And I hope that everybody can support it. The Big Stone plant has been the type of industry that you want here in South Dakota. They have been a tremendous asset to the community. I have, in the 10 years that I've served in the legislature, I've never, ever had a complaint about concerning the Big Stone plant. They're the type of industry and type of neighbors that we want here in South Dakota. And if we can just do a little tweaking to help them out, I would really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. We are open to committee discussion and/or action. Senator Adelstein?
I have a question for the gentleman from Big Stone, please. How would the failure to pass this amendment affect the investment of in the plant by the company? Would they still go ahead, or would this keep it from happening, or what would happen?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Adelstein, That's a really good question, and I'm not sure I can answer it. When the initial legislation was passed, it certainly was an incentive for the project. We are in kind of uncertain times now because we don't know what the next best technology is going to be. We certainly want to continue to operate the plant, and we firmly believe that we will do these upgrades. And again, we have the support of the county and the schools, knowing that they would stand to gain from the assessment in dollars. However, the astronomical cost for these upgrades would certainly increase our customers' rates, and they have, and we did meet with them and explain that to them.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Senator Gerstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question. I'm wondering, is this going to help the company in terms of moving forward with not only its business as usual, but it looks like you're also concerned with environmental protection and so on. And I'm wondering if this is going to be a savings to your company and therefore to the people that you serve.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Gerstead, thank you for the question. We, in the 35 years Big Stone has been in existence, have continually done upgrades, not only for environmental purposes, but also because the technologies have changed. And it has allowed us to increase the capacity of that unit from a nameplate of 425 megawatts to probably at the time, at this point, it would be capable of generating an additional probably 50 megawatts due to those changes that we've made over the past 35 years. It certainly is a benefit to us. Again, we want to keep operating that facility. We have 80 employees out there that do a great job. We're, again, done a lot of environmental improvements. And our goal is to keep it running. And certainly in light of the Big Stone 2 announcement of not going forward, it is in our best interest to keep a very efficient and clean unit running for our customers and our company.
Okay, any further questions? Seeing none, we'll open to committee discussion, interaction.
Mr. Chairman. You know, I'm sort of uncomfortable with tax concessions, no matter how meritorious they seem to be, if they don't change the ultimate outcome for the taxpayer of South Dakota, especially now when we're really having a hard time. Therefore, at least to start the action, I would move to the 41st day.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Hawley. Speaking to that motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
I'll make a substitute motion of due pass.
Okay. We have a substitute motion due pass from Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Merchant. Senator Maher, would you like to make some comments? Okay. Any further discussion on the due pass motion? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Nay.
Howie?
No.
Gerstead?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
7-2.
Okay, Senate Bill 172 is passed as amended on a 7-3 vote. We do need an amendment or a title amendment. Would someone like to move that? Second, moved by Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor of amending the title, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Okay, the title is so amended. We will now move to House Bill 1032. We'll open the public hearing on this bill, which is an act to revise provisions regarding the reporting period for the collection of use tax. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Andy Fergal with the Department of Revenue and Regulation. So the department has brought House Bill 1032 for a couple of reasons. The first reason being to implement the same time periods for filing use tax returns and remitting use tax and the penalty for untimely return or remittance of the use tax currently in place in the other taxation chapters of Title 10. And the second reason is to repeal or amend statutes that reference previously repealed statutes. Specifically, the bill would repeal Section 10-46-27, which refers to two sections in Chapter 1045, that being Sections 10-45-27 and 10-45-28 that were previously repealed by the legislature. And it also would amend Sections 10-46-28, 10-46-34, and 10-46-41, which also reference the previously repealed statutes. This bill passed through the House without any opposition, and mainly it's a cleanup bill that provides for the same filing periods as is in other portions of Title 10. And with that, I'd stand by for any questions.
Okay, are there any further proponents to House Bill 1032? Further proponents to House Bill 1032? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1032? There aren't enough people in the room to have too many opinions. Any opponents to House Bill 1032? Seeing none, we'll close to committee questions.
Move to pass. Second.
Moved by Gerstad, do pass, seconded by Senator Merchant. Any speaking to that motion? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson? Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Moved by Senator Gerstad to put this bill on consent, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Okay, the Senate Bill 10, House Bill 1032 will go on the consent calendar. And let's see, Senator Howey, would you like to take care of explaining this in your caucus? And let's see. Senator Gerstad, would you like to present it in your caucus, please? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Howey.
I just want to say that of all the bills that I've seen in the time that I've been in this legislative body, this is the one bill from the Department of Revenue that I'd be happy to carry.
Well, it's good to hear that, and I'm happy that I had the good judgment to assign it to you to be able to explain. So, okay, we will now move the open the public hearing on House Bill 1039, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the use of an exemption certificate for tax purposes. We will welcome our first proponent to House Bill 1039. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jan Talley, Department of Revenue and Regulation. House Bill 1039 removes the requirement to list items purchased with an exemption certificate. The current language in the statute conflicts with language in streamlined sales tax. South Dakota has adopted the streamlined sales tax certificate. That exemption certificate does not require purchasers to list items for resale. On the current exemption certificate, a purchaser only has to list their type of business and the reason for the exemption. Passage of this bill is necessary to be in compliance with streamlined sales tax. I urge that you support House Bill 1039. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents to House Bill 1039? Further proponents to House Bill 1039? Are there opponents to House Bill 1039? Any opponents to House Bill 1039? Seeing none, I will open to committee questions. Seeing none, I'll close the question opportunity, and we will open to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Frisley. We have a motion to pass from Senator Frisley, seconded by Senator Merchant. Any speaking to the motion? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, vote nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstead?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, Senate Bill, House Bill 1039 is passed. Moved by Senator Merchant to put it on the consent calendar. Is there a second by Senator Gerstead? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Okay, House Bill 1039 will go on the consent calendar. And let's see. Senator Frisley, would you like to carry that to your caucus? And Senator Peterson, carry it to yours, please. This brings us to the end of our agenda for today. And again, we remind committee members to leave your notebooks on the table for the pages to pick up. And a motion to adjourn will be in order.
Second.
Moved by Senator Gerstead, seconded by Senator Merchant, that we adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.